Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
So a few days ago, I was bragging on the fact that Vince Carter was still doing 360s at age 42 and 43, and look what Richard Jefferson said that he could do.
That looked weak.
Super weak, right?
That looked weak.
I can't do it. I'm all for it. I can't do it. So I give you full marks, Richard.
Hey, it's easy to go that way. This was a better one. This is after I got warmed up a little bit, just a little something simple in pants. I want to see anybody dunking some pans.
Oh, look at Vince. Oh, see?
First of all, that's after a full warm-up and a stretch. I just got off a bus.
No. We just got out there, buddy.
Oh, come on, Vince.
That is the beginning of warm-ups.
Vince, I know how this works, dog. Come on. Damn. You got 8 inches higher than I did right there.
I'm just saying, you two were tearing it up when you played for the Nets together, and someone still has some elevation.
That was a long time.
I'll take this mic off and go do it one more time.
Rich,
I don't think America needs
that. Actually, he should still be in the league.
Oh, wow. But no. I'm very comfortable right here. I was actually grumpy when I was doing that, and I'm in a much better place while doing this.
Well, I'm going to give RJ the full shout out. Not everybody would go and do that for TV cameras. Your commitment, Richard, is all right up here.
Thank you.
Hey, Rachel, I wish you guys told me earlier. I would have sent a video in, and I would have tried it as well.
Oh, I think that's going to happen in the offseason, Vince. That's what I think.
But this is the thing.
Pip can do it too.
You'd have to do it in shoes or running shoes and pants also. That makes it the same.
That was a conscious choice, Richard Jefferson. I'm not going to come here today.
I got TV. I'm not coming in shorts with a
Vince
full
Vince is not going to have a problem, RJ.
Vince is not going to have a problem.
Vince can still jump in the free throw line.
Welcome to The Jump. I break this merriment up. I'm Rachel Nichols. I am joined indeed by an esteemed panel of dunkers, NBA champ Richard Jefferson, six-time NBA champ Scottie Pippen, and the future Hall of Famer, the dunk master, the man who can do it all, 22 seasons, including just this past one, Vince Carter. Coming up, we also have the boss, Rick Ross, on the show today. He will stop by to discuss the Heat's chances coming back in these finals, how Heat fans feel about LeBron James these days, and so much more. First, though, we got some relatively big news coming out of China, where CCTV says it plans to televise Game 5 of the NBA Finals live. Now, normally that wouldn't be huge news, except this is the first game on broadcast television in China in more than a year. It was, in fact, 1 year, 5 days ago, when Richard and I were in China, as the reaction to Daryl Morey's tweet.
We were on a plane. We didn't know if we were going to get off.
Yeah, there you go. But in fact, they are playing these NBA finals and people in China will see it. They will see Rajon Rondo as well because he has had quite a journey to get to this point. He sat down with me. We discussed the fact that he almost retired a few years ago. We talked about his future plans and what this title would mean for him. Take a look. So the closing game when you are trying to win a championship is always the hardest. What do you expect out of Game 5?
Everything. So they're a scrappy team. I expect the way they played in Game 3. I'm out even more scrappier, Jimmy more aggressive. So we're going to get their best shot. We have been, you know, all series.
Your ability to look at film, to break down schemes is legendary. I have been on the sideline and watched you point out to an opposing player, no, you're supposed to be over there. What do you see in guys' faces when you do stuff like that, or you call out the names of their plays and they realize that you've got their number more than they do?
You know, it's obviously understanding, you know, when you feel the sense of fear of someone, no different from when you obviously know they're scouting or know they're playing. So I like to actually try to mess with the coach's mind as well, understanding, like, you know, what they're trying to call or they're trying to disguise a play, knowing just from the setup that they're in to be able to disguise it, call it out to my guys and give them the answer to the test, basically.
So people do call you a coach out there on the floor, but when you were hurt, Frank Vogel actually made you a coach. It wasn't ceremonial. You were in the assistant coaches' meetings. You were game planning with them. What did you get out of that experience?
Amazing experience. You know, being able to be inside a potential NBA championship coaching staff meetings daily and learning. So I was just trying to be a sponge as much as possible. You know, I actually recorded some of our film. I took a lot of notes down just so in the future, if I do want to become a coach, then I have, you know, I've already had the blueprint on how to be a successful coach and how to conduct the meetings and giving my other coaches, assistant coaches, you know, giving them a voice as well in the meeting.
Do you think you're going to end up coaching in the NBA?
I love to coach. I love to teach the game. I love to put people in position to succeed. So that is a recipe for a coach. I also, you know, don't want to box myself in. I would love to be a GM as well. So those two are the paths I would like to go down, you know, in the future of my career.
I like that. I want to talk about a play where your vision really came into things during a game. In the Denver series, Anthony Davis hits that three that turns the series. You asked to be the one to throw the ball in. Why did you do that, and what did you see once you were out there?
I just feel like I'm the quarterback, and people don't realize I had 5 turnovers that game, so it was kind of risky for me to put myself back, you know, ask to check myself back in the game, and with no timeouts left, being able to make the right play within 5 seconds with, you know, a 7-footer jumping up in front of me. So I'm a big believer in, you know, I feel like I'm one of the best passers in either sport I play. You know, disrespecting any quarterback in the NFL, but, you know, if I would have took that route, I think I would have been a pretty good pass as well. So, you know, it leads to translation in basketball and me being able to deliver the pass on time on target.
I don't want to shortchange your journey to get to this point. And it wasn't all a smooth road.
No.
We remember Dallas.
No, you had a break
with that team in the middle of a playoff series.
I almost retired.
Rondo does not want to play for Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle does not want Rondo being his point guard.
Yeah.
It is over. Rondo quit on his team.
Oh.
Did you worry that or think that you'd never play in the NBA again?
I didn't know. I feel like, you know, the league, I don't want to say as a whole, but, you know, trying to get me out of the game for a while. Obviously, after that year, I didn't have too many teams calling. You know, I think it was like 2 teams calling, then I went up to Sacramento. So that was a big relief, you know, coming from where I came from the year before. So, like I said, everything happens for a reason. You know, I'm a big believer that cream always rises to the top. And I studied foot, you know, I kept my head down and continued to work hard. And hopefully, you know, tomorrow night will be another great feeling.
And then here you are, 1 win away from another championship. But you know, you have been 1 win away from a title before in 2010 with the Celtics, and you never got that win.
No, I didn't. But, you know, obviously this is different. You know, the mindset is different. The talent on our team is different, and the climate of where we are. You know, Miami's a hell of a team. Obviously, both teams here for a reason. And like I said, with the coaching staff and all the talent that we have and the focus, the level of focus that we're here in the bubble that we have, I think we should be able to get the job done.
Thanks so much to Rajon Rondo for taking the time. And as you can see, playoff Rondo, not just something we say, a proven fact for his career, his numbers in the playoffs have risen across the board. So let's talk a little bit more about Game 5. Richard, you are especially equipped to discuss what it takes to come back from down 3-1 in the finals, being, you know, the only guy on the only team that's ever done it. Back in 2016, LeBron and Kyrie each scored 41 in Game 5 to help keep your Cavs alive in that series. What is the difficulty? What is the degree of difficulty here for what you guys pulled off, especially those two?
Well, you've already seen it happen a couple of times in the postseason, the 3-1 deficit. But I think here, this is something that, again, has never been seen. We keep running into things in this bubble. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's like, okay, we got to go win 1 game at home. Then we got to go and just do this road game. And then, you know, so there's like a formula that you can convince your brain of. So I don't know if doing that is harder or if doing it here is harder because there's a constant. Everyone's on the floor. There is no home crowd. There is no away crowd. So I think truly it would be easier to do it here. No travel, no nothing. Mm-hmm. So I think the rhythm could get going easier here. And so that's why I think the Lakers really need to be on edge.
Yeah, I mean, this would be a Lakers home game if we were doing a regular schedule for the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And it will not be. It will be a bubble game.
Yeah.
Scotty, spinning forward to that game, who do you think is under more pressure here, LeBron James or Jimmy Butler?
Wow, that's a great question, Rachel. I think in this game, there's really no pressure. You know, you look at the Lakers, they got 2 games to really play with, really before the pressure even shifts to them. But for the Miami Heat, I think with the loss of Dragic and also not having Bam full strength, I don't see any pressure being in this game tonight. I think this will probably be the game that Miami Heat can come out and have one of their best games. They feel like probably Bam has had another game to get on his sleeve to play better, but I don't see any pressure in this game, and I think this is a game where Miami Heat can probably have their best game.
Well, for me, I agree with Pip on this. I think LeBron has been through it all, understands the moment and what's at stake, and I agree. The Lakers have a couple of games in their favor, so there's no pressure. All right, but I think Jimmy, if I had to pick Jimmy Butler, you know, out of the two, Jimmy Butler is probably the one. You know, he has to play, you know, perfect basketball, and you know, we have to see another Game 3 performance. In my mind, at the end of the day, I say if anybody has pressure, work with me here when I say this. I say Anthony Davis because he's the one who has the opportunity to play at to win the MVP, to win his first championship, and in a closeout game, as you two know for sure, you want to play your best basketball in a closeout game, especially when you're the one up 3-1 to close it out. So, you know, I picked Jimmy Butler for that reason, but I say Anthony Davis at the has the most pressure because he wants to play the best basketball right now.
Yeah, look, when we look at Jimmy Butler, like Vince is right. Like a game three performance is needed if there's no Bam Adebayo playing the way he did last game. If Duncan Robinson isn't playing the way he did last game. Those guys stepping up and one, getting Bam on the court and the way that impacts their offense, that takes a lot of pressure off of Jimmy. Now he can just kind of go play basketball versus, you know, asking to go score 40. So right now, I think it's LeBron. I truly believe that there is more pressure on Bron because Butler has actually added players on his roster. So Bron wants to close this out. When we are talking about legacy and once he wants accomplished, like he wants to be the greatest of all time. And I think universally, even though he's on the Mount Rushmore, he needs to continue moving out, like further and further down that list. And the only way that happens is if he wins more championships. And so, you know, getting it done this year and possibly if he's able to win more, but the more pressure is on Bron. That's it. He's the best player on the best team with the 3-1 series.
Well, I just want to add one point with the Jimmy Butler thing. You know, you said he's at, you know, how you said adding Bam and other guys playing well. But I feel like if Jimmy doesn't play at this level, he doesn't create easy shots for everyone else. Being the superstar and having that load, you have to do it all. And I say he has to play that with, you know, alleviating pressure from everyone else, meaning making it easy for Bam to roll. Because when he rolls, you open up the three-point shot. But that's because Jimmy is aggressive. He has to be aggressive, and he has to play like Bam isn't on the floor.
Yeah, but guys, let's be honest to ourselves. The Lakers have figured out an answer for Jimmy Butler, and his name is Anthony Davis. They don't have to put LeBron James on him. Anthony Davis have proved that he can guard LeBron, Jimmy Butler, and not allow him to bully other players around the court.
Anthony Davis certainly really strong defending Jimmy, especially through the final three quarters of the previous game. But Jimmy Butler has definitely taken the we have no pressure, we no one expected us to be here, all the pressure's on them tack. So we'll see which one pans out tonight. Coming up, Mr. Donovan Mitchell is going to be joining the show. He will discuss his social justice efforts, his scoring explosion here in the bubble, and we'll play a little game of What Were You Thinking? Keep it locked. You're watching The Jump. They're going to wipe you before you wipe me.
Unboxes of checks, not my... The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything. And in part by Dove Men Plus Care and the National Basketball Players Association, who are partnering to change the way the world sees and treats black men. Learn more at committocarenow.com.
And we are now joined by Donovan Mitchell on behalf of Dove Men Plus Care and the National Basketball Players Association, who are making a commitment to changing the way black men are seen and treated in our society. And Donovan, it's so good to see you. We miss you down here in the bubble. And I know that when you were down here, you were one of the loudest voices calling for civil rights, calling for people to be heard. What have you been doing since you left FAIR Orlando to help push forward this most important effort?
You know, I think the biggest thing is, one, continuing to use that voice. I think the NBA, the NBPA, Dove Men Plus Care, we've all done a great job of finding ways to amplify our voice and allowing us guys to kind of use our voice in the ways we want. You know, so for myself, you know, finding ways to give back to kids, education, you know, reform, finding ways to, you know, just change the way black men and women are perceived in the media and to people. You know, we're not a threat. You know, we're equals. And I think, you know, for myself, just continuing to find ways to inform and help people understand more about our history as African-Americans. And also, like I said, the fact that we aren't a threat to society.
Absolutely. I think one of your coaches said There is a player who is pulled over for being suspicious. Being black is not being suspicious. It's an important, important message that you guys amplified here in this bubble. Frankly, better than a lot of people expected you to. They were worried about the distraction of basketball. You guys turned around and used that as your advantage, and I know are only continuing now and with this campaign. So I'm very grateful for that, as are a lot of people, Donovan. I do got to ask you a little bit about basketball, though. Has your team gotten over that Game 7 loss to the Nuggets? Because, you know, that ball went in and out, and you know, I don't have to tell you.
It's funny. We actually just had a call earlier today, and I think the first thing we all talked about was that we're not over it. You know, credit to Denver and what they've done, you know, not just beating us, but beating LA as well. But, you know, we felt like we were right there. You know, we had control of that series, and we had a few mishaps that we didn't have throughout the series. And, you know, we're going to look in the mirror and understand now we're getting Bojan back, you know, 20 points for a game, which definitely helps. But we're right there, and I think we're really excited for next season.
Yeah, I mean, look, if that Mike Conley shot had gone in, does it make you think, as you are watching the next series and you do see the Nuggets that you were right there with take down the Clippers, do you start to run through your head, that could have been us, that could have been us?
100%. But I think, you know, when you live in that mindset, I think it's kind of it fuels you. It fuels me, you know, watching, you know, obviously I'm close. I'm pretty cool with Jamal. We've known each other since high school. So watching him play and watching him do things, I'm like, wow, I could see how I can incorporate that into my game. I think Jokic, watching them, Jeremy Grant playing well, those guys really did their thing. But at the end of the day, it really kind of pisses you off. I'm not going to lie, you know, where it's like, man, we were right there. At the end of the day, that's what it is. We're right there. And, you know, I think for myself and a lot of the guys on the team, all the guys, I should say, and coaches, we're ready to go. We're ready for the season to start next month if it had to. And I think we're fired up, and I think that's the proper mindset to have.
Well, I don't have great news for you about next month, but last month was pretty good for you. You had a couple of 50-point games. You averaged more than 36 points per game in the postseason. Do you expect that scoring surge to be such a big part of your game and carry over to next season?
I think, you know, it's going to be tough to average, 36, 37, but I think the biggest thing, like I said before I got down there, was, you know, being a better playmaker overall, whether that's continuing to score, finding guys. You know, what I'm most proud of is the fact that, you know, I know it's maybe a small increase, but the increase in assists for myself, you know, finding ways to get to possibly 6-7. Obviously, we have multiple ball handlers, so it's a little bit tougher, but understanding that that's where I'm at, picking up on the defensive end, finding ways to continue to elevate my game and be a leader for this team.
Well, your Jazz coaches have said from day one that you walked in the facility, no one has been more dedicated to breaking down tape. So I know you will be poring over every frame, getting ready for next year. I do got to play America's favorite game with you, Donovan. We like to play here at The Jump. What were you thinking? You can tell us what went through your mind during these highlights. So my first question is, what were you thinking when you kept running into your friend Jaylen Brown inside of the bubble? Because it was constant. It was quite a bit.
So, you know, Jaylen and I, we played Team USA together. So we see each other all the time. And, you know, we kind of made it into a thing, you know, and kind of when we saw each other recording. There were times where I was like, bro, like, I'm eating food. Like, don't record me right now.
Right.
And then there are times where he's in the cold tub and I'm messing with him. But I think it's just all fun and games. But it was cool. Just like, I think that was part of the bubble experience. You know, it felt like a big AAU camp where everybody was there together.
Right.
And, you know, I think that was pretty great.
I did like that. Won't leave me alone. Only in the bubble. Only in the bubble.
Only in the bubble.
What were you thinking, Donovan Mitchell, when you jammed it past Michael Porter Jr.? This is from Game 5. You exploded with this dunk. What was going through your mind?
I didn't even know it went in. To be honest with you, I just, you know, it was one of those things. If I had taken the layup, you know, I felt like he had the advantage, him being 6'10". So at the end of the day, there are times where, you know, you just have to finish through people. And I think that was one of those moments. We had given up a 15-point lead at that time. So for myself, it was kind of a way to kind of, you know, make a statement like, look, we're not letting this happen. Obviously, we did let it happen. But like, that was really just the mindset to kind of give my team a surge. And but I didn't even know it went in when I made it, to be honest with you.
I don't know if they make posters like they used to, but that would be a poster.
I'm just definitely going to have that one.
All right, see, good. We can do a homemade poster. We can make a poster. I do need to know what you were thinking, Donovan. When the ball landed, well, it landed somewhere very special to you earlier this season. versus the Kings. You tried to take a charge. Not only did you not get the call, but the bell landed right on you, and it became, I think this was across the internet for like 6 months after this. And of course, your teammates relished it for some reason. I don't know.
All I heard was my assistant coach, Johnny Bryant, told me to get up. That's why I looked at the bench and started smiling, because I was just like, you know, you got to laugh that one off and get back to it. But he was always pretty tough on me. And he told me to get up. So that was the only thing I heard at that time.
I'm just going to say that we hear all about how close-knit you guys are, all that teammate love, and Joe Ingles was just openly laughing at you.
But the thing with Joe is, like, he's always finding ways to make fun of me. He's just always a jokester. In that instance, he let me know about it tomorrow. The next day, the day after that. So I didn't, right. I know the internet had it, but I didn't hear it. But I didn't forget it in the locker room either. So
I am sure. Well, we wish you only good highlights ahead, a good off season, and we too are excited to see you get back on the court next season as soon as that happens. Thank you so much, Donovan. Always good to hang out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Rachel.
Coming up, we'll talk about whether the road to a title is easier or harder in the bubble. We will discuss. Stick around.
Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. You know, the Lakers are up 3-1 against the Heat, but Miami, they're scrappy. Just saying. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown, 8:30 Eastern, and I will be on the sidelines for that game, so come hang out.
We know that he's watching over us. It's our responsibility to just represent the purple and gold.
Yeah. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now.
The Lakers are back in control of these NBA Finals.
The job is not done.
Job's not finished. Job finished? I don't think so. This in between us is not like a
store. This isn't a closable gap. I'm excited to see how we bounce back. I know we can do it. I know that they had the crib gone crazy down bad. What they had didn't last, damn baby.
Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. I'm gonna continue to not sleep until the job is done. Baby, where
they be at when they say they doing all this and all that? Welcome back to The Jump. We got Scottie Pippen, Vince Carter, Richard Jefferson still in the house. And guys, here is a live look at where we would be today.
Don't do that to us.
If the world was a little bit different.
Don't do that to us. I would have been able to take my son to school today.
There's already a couple news trucks there.
Oh, just don't do that. Sad.
Looks nice.
It looks nice. This postseason, different for just that. Just so many reasons. That's not the only one. But one really interesting trend we've seen is that road teams have won 51% of their games here in the bubble compared to 44% in a regular postseason. So, Scotty, do you think the road to winning a title for the Lakers or the Heat is easier or harder than in previous years?
Well, I mean, I got to say it's a little bit easier. I mean, when you look at the fact that they are on one ground, they're not having to get out and do any traveling, so they have access to these players 24/7. They could call a practice at 3 in the morning, they could call a team meeting. So I definitely see that it's a little bit easier. But not only that, when you look inside of these arenas that these players are accustomed to playing in, the great shooters are the ones that stand out, the ones that can shoot shots and not be affected by the depth perception inside of an arena. And I see inside of that bubble that I see walls. I see things that are not distracting these players. I see players that are not known to be great shooters throughout their careers are now stepping up and making shots. So I do believe that it's an easier task playing inside of the bubble, because I think they're playing inside of a shooter's gym.
I'm gonna go to the other side. I think it's tougher for the simple fact. All of the things that Pip you said, I agree with 1,000%. A little easier. You don't have to worry about going to play like in Utah, in Boston, in some of these rowdy places, you know. But you look at today's game, the mental side of it is tough. And who can, you know, my question was, what team can come together the quickest in the beginning and get it going? And I felt like because of all of the, I mean, there's no distractions, but after a while, you get tired of looking at the same four walls. You get tired of going to the same place, seeing the same people, the person you play against all of the time. All of these things, you know, it's just, and then for me, I think I would have struggled in the bubble, particularly early on, you know, wanting to see your family. Just think, after a two-week road trip, guess what? We get to go home. Well, 3 months for these guys, they have to continue to play and figure out how to stay focused. And you're asking young guys to stay focused and do what you need them to do. So I think as far as that's concerned, that is the challenge for these guys, particularly older guys. Like for us, so imagine you guys being in the bubble with your kids. Like younger guys, they don't have to worry about that. I would miss my kids after a while. Like I want to see my kids, and you know, luckily for me, I have golf. I know you golf as well, so we can go golf and get away from it a little bit and kind of refocus because you get to see the scenery and get away from the game. But all of these guys can't do that, and you're asking them to kind of focus in. So that's why I said it's a little tougher.
Yeah, I like everyone has brought up great points. I think the mental aspect of this has been far difficult because the more you play, the more you're away from your family, the more you're kind of eating the same food. And the NBA has done a great job of trying to accommodate and making this as comfortable of a situation. That's something that I applaud. But if we're purely talking about basketball, just to see that 51% of the road teams have won, that is something that we would never ever see in an actual basketball normal series. So by that definition, it is a lot easier to be the underdog because you work for 82 games to get home court. So you have game 7. So you know the percentage of winning game 5s when the series tied 2-2 is like you win 70%. All of that has been thrown out of the window. And so I think it's been a lot easier for teams physically and from a game standpoint, like Scotty talks about good shooters and the backgrounds. It's been easier to do that here. From a mental, emotional standpoint, but more difficult. But from a physical game standpoint, there is no home court. 51% basically means that every game's a toss-up. Doesn't matter if you're home away because it is a neutral site.
Look, it's just, to me, it's not about better or easier or any of that. It's about different muscles, right? So Michael Phelps is an elite swimmer, greatest ever. Michael Jordan, elite basketball player. If you put MJ in the water and you put Michael Phelps on a basketball court, you're not getting those elite results. Well, this bubble tests you in a different way. You will be a different kind of champion than you would have outside of the bubble, right?
Absolutely.
So I agree with Richard about the mental aspect just from being down here and what these guys have to see and go through every day. I think it tests those muscles more, and that is why we have seen the two teams that have ended up here are teams that had great chemistry all season because it test that, and toughness. And I just think that it is a different kind of championship that tests different things, not better or worse. We're going to remember 2020 for so many reasons this year. This will certainly be one of them. Coming up, we got the Teflon Don, Rick Ross, stopping by to tell
Rose.
Us why he is not counting down his hometown heat in this series and whether or not he still roots for LeBron. After LeBron, I don't know if you've heard this, Richard, but LeBron what? Left the Heat.
Look, it's wherever he at.
Here's where the jump recommends for today. Detail from the mind of the late Kobe Bryant, of course. In this episode, Kevin Durant breaking down Jimmy Butler. Here's a sneak peek.
You go through your options first. It's almost like a quarterback in the pocket. You're seeing what's coming open first. So Jimmy looks for his two shooters over there, Hero and Duncan, along with Solomon Hill setting screens. It's like size, so they could probably switch it. Exactly what they did. They switch everything. You get a mismatch on your best player on the post. More and more Jimmy can get down there, and more Miami will have a chance. Easy basket.
We all believe that we can get this thing done, so. Ain't nobody going home yet. We're still here.
They judge this religious. Somewhat.
Just blaze. Big time.
Midnight music.
Damn. I just got a crib and chili to chill up to summer.
Damn.
I catch me out in Haiti, still running up numbers.
Damn.
If I look into your eye, then I made you a promise. Miami Heat, I rap like my name was Udonis. Two seat. Big time. The G-Tip. Big time.
We're
when they got us. Let's go get it. Let's go get it.
My barber got to come to me because I'm big time. Big time, real big time.
We are all thrilled to have the one and only Rick Ross here with me, Scotty, Vince, and Richard. Latest album is titled Richer Than I've Ever Been. Welcome to The Jump, sir.
Thank you.
Now, before we talk to you about your Miami Heat, Vince Carter does have a question he's been dying to ask you.
Please.
Well, I'm a Florida boy representing Daytona Beach, Mainland High School. You're a Florida boy from Miami representing Miami Carroll City. I support my Florida boys. Man, I'm looking for a shout out on an album, bro. I haven't gotten one yet. I ain't heard that Vince Carter did. You know, that's what I'm just saying. We know we Florida boys look out for each other, my bro.
That's too easy. I got you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say something like, you know, Vince Carter jumping out the gym. You know, that's easy.
I mean, Vince, I don't want to start anything, but Rick did shout out Scotty on the track 16. Rick, can you do the verse for us, the floor seat one?
Hey, he's legendary. He could do that.
Look at that.
Pip is legendary.
Floor seat, I'm heat, and pepper. That's what I'm stacking. Better put away a penny for the rainy day. Living like Scottie Pippen, dribbling riddles for vittles?
For vittles. God.
For vittles. Yeah, see, that's a Southern word, vittles. That's a Southern word right there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a
Southern word. Gotta get them vittles, baby.
I hear you, baby. It's all good.
You gotta eat.
That's it.
I didn't even want to count the number of times Scotty's been shouted out. It's got to be well into the hundreds by now. I do want you to shout out your Miami Heat,
into the
though.
Millions.
That's right. Absolutely.
I appreciate the love.
Better believe it. It's well deserved.
I do want to ask you about your Heat tonight, Rick. Are you feeling good about Miami's chances of winning tonight, extending this series?
I'm extremely confident, extremely.
The question I have for you, Rick, is this. I understand the connection to Bron in Miami, and I know that the Heat fans aren't rooting for Bron, but do the Heat fans still actually root Bron? Do they still have love for him?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
I mean, what kind of fan are you if you aren't loyal to your past?
Mm-hmm.
That's not really being a fan. If you only a fan when you win in the rings and not after they move on, that's not a true fan.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm giving
Rick,
I'm giving you a panel with some of the greatest basketball players to ever touch the rim.
And me.
And Richard Jefferson. do you have any questions for our all-star panel? There are people who would ask Scottie Pippen or Vince Carter or Richard Jefferson anything you want.
Stick with the other two.
Okay, you know, I understand, you know, I've always been an underdog, you know, in my field. I love being an underdog. To me, it's the position Jimmy Buckets in, a.k.a. Jimmy Jesus. being that underdog, you know, when I think of Scottie Pippen, I don't necessarily think of an underdog. But, you know, what made Scottie who he was, you know, Scottie could have been drowned out by the talents of Michael Jordan, by the excitement of Michael Jordan, and that never happened. That speaks volumes for what Scottie Pippen did on the court. And it's a lot of times, you know, we watch Scottie make plays and, you know, I just sat back and was like, wow, you know what I mean? You know, would this even happen if there was no Scottie? So we know the value of Scottie. We know the value of Vince Carter. I just want from you guys the position that Jimmy Jesus said. How confident are you two tonight for the Miami Heat?
I'm actually pretty confident in the Miami Heat. I feel very good that they're going to come out tonight swinging. I have yet to see them have their best game in the finals. So I expect tonight to be the night.
Mm.
For me, I'm not sure, but what I will tell you is this, you know, what Jimmy Butler has instilled into that organization, into that team, has been amazing. He has those guys believing, regardless of how they're playing and their record. And I think going in there, if they didn't have a Jimmy Butler who has his mentality, and like you said, that pit bull underdog mentality, they wouldn't. It would have been sweet by now. I think we all can agree with that. But with his mentality and the way he steps on the floor and plays, he has these guys believing, and then that's the one thing about it that always gives them a chance is the way he presents himself on the court every night.
Well, Richard, you were on the underdog team of all underdog teams in the finals, down 3-1.
Yeah, well, look, my thing is this, is that Miami Heat, just even the culture of the Miami Heat and the Miami City, you have Miami has like the glitz and the glamour of L.A. You see South Beach, you see all that, but there's also another part of Miami that people don't really see that often, and that is the hardworking, the grinded out, the people that really represent the true force of that city, and that's what this Miami Heat team is. This is a team that they have a little bit of glitz and glamour, but really they are the working class, like everybody against us, and so that's why I'm, if you're a Laker fan, you should be more nervous about this game. Bam Adebayo's back. He had a game underneath his belt, all that stuff. You know, Duncan Robinson, you saw how well he played once Bam came back, so I think this is going to be by far the toughest game, and I think Miami Heat's going to have their best game also.
All right, Rick, do you feel better hearing you got all three guys pumping your guys up?
Oh, I'm feeling wonderful. Let's go Heat. I still call it the La Spostra Nostra, the Pat Riley conspiracies. You know, that's what it's still about.
Amazing. Rick, thank you so much for joining us. Everyone out there, stream the new album during this quick break. When we come back, I'm forcing Scotty, Vince, and Richard to make an actual pick. Not just all this nice talk, an actual pick, no hedging for tonight's game. We'll do that when we come back.
The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything. And in part by Michelob Ultra. Get your Michelob Ultra courtside tickets by tweeting hashtag Ultra Courtside.
It's time for this week's Ultra Moment, brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Vero, the rookie, the 20-year-old, layup.
Even more importantly, I love his game.
Drives again, back to Davis. Davis for three. Bang! Anthony Davis from downtown. And the Lakers take a 9-point lead. And LA with some comfort room right now.
Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern on ABC Deportes and the app. Lakers looking to clinch their first title in 10 years. Coverage starts with NBA Countdown, and I will be on the sidelines as well. All right, guys, let's wrap things up with a finals round of Jump Ball. Scotty, you are a 10-time member of the All-Defensive Team. I'm just going to say that again. 10 times. Who will have the bigger defensive impact tonight, Anthony Davis or Bam Adebayo?
Hey, I really think it has to be Bam. Anthony Davis can take off. He's still got two big seven-footers over there, but I think it has to be Bam. I think Bam has to own the paint. I think he has to have a monster game. I think he has to have his breakout game because he's yet to have his best game in the NBA Finals compared to what we're accustomed to seeing in the regular season from him. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. This one's tough. I'm going to say Anthony Davis only
because
this
show is not a surprise to you,
listen,
Richard.
I'm just saying, I I'm not going to disagree with Scotty. That anytime Scotty says something else, you have to take a half second to be like, I'm not going to disagree with him. Yeah. But I just like, here, let me word this carefully. Well, I think I'm going to say Anthony Davis for this reason. We've seen him having to guard Bam Adebayo. We've seen him now make the adjustment and guarding Jimmy Butler on the perimeter. So I think Anthony Davis is going to be has the opportunity to have the biggest defensive impact in this game for that reason, what we saw him do against Jimmy.
Sorry, RJ. I'm definitely agreeing with Pip on this one. And
that's
here's
smart.
Why.
I think smart.
No,
good call, Vince.
No, you got it. No, I think Bam. He. It's imperative for him to have a defensive showing tonight, particularly guarding Anthony Davis. But they. They trusted him guarding one through five. When they can switch pick and rolls with him, they know that he can contain the dribble from a guard or small forward or guard the post. So I think tonight, like Pip said, he has to put his imprint on this game tonight defensively, or they don't win. Yes, we talked about Jimmy Butler having to score offensively, but they have to stop someone. And we know the Lakers love the pick and roll. And you can put Bam in the pick and roll to switch and hopefully have these guys take contested jump shots over him. Now that's going to just open a rebounding. That's a whole different situation.
Vince, you got it right at the beginning. When it comes to especially anything about defense, agree with Scottie Pippen. That's just the answer. All right, we're about 5 hours away from tip-off. So, Vince, you start us off. Who you got tonight, Lakers or Heat?
I'm going to go with the Lakers.
he had the same pause I had.
I'm going to go a little second there. Know.
Yeah, going to the Lakers, point blank.
All right. What do you think, Scotty?
I'm going to go with the Heat. You know, as I said, I think that the Heat has yet to play their best basketball in this finals, and I expect them to do it tonight. I think tonight is the one game that has the least amount of pressure, so I think they're going to play well tonight.
I think the Heat sees everyone packing up in this place. I think the Heat see everything being done. I think they see the emails of where to send your stuff and having all of your stuff packed. And I think the Heat have spent this entire postseason proving everyone wrong. And so I believe that the Heat will win tonight, but I think the Lakers win it in six. That's my opinion. So don't ask me in six who's going to win. I already told you.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. I do want to get to our buzzer because the NBA and the Players Association announced the NBA Foundation Board of Directors. This is comprised of 8 representatives, Michael Jordan, one of the members. Here are all 8, including Commissioner Silver, head of the MBPA, Michelle Roberts. The goal of the Board of Directors is to work directly with all 30 NBA teams and their governors to support and facilitate sustainable initiatives in team markets. Richard, there has been a lot of talk over this bubble. Is this action something that you like to see?
Oh, it's huge because we talk about NBA family so much. And that means there's players, there's referees, there's NBA entertainment, there's, you know, the media side. So to see that so much of the NBA, everyone's coming together and figuring out how to move forward as a unit, that is something that's very special.
And look, the players asked when they did walk out and the Milwaukee Bucks led that they wanted ownership buy-in. And now they have it. All right, check out Game 5 tonight.